I want you to open your Bibles this morning to two verses of Scripture. I'm going to use both of them as a text this morning. The first one is found in Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. The second one will be found in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to get a jump on it. But we'll begin in Romans chapter 8 and in Galatians chapter 5. And from these chapters, I will read just one verse, beginning with the verse in Romans. And of course, this great book of Romans is basically just an explanation of the salvation that God has provided for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a description of that salvation from beginning to end. It starts with the fact that God created the heavens and the earth and that men are sinners and in need of a Savior. And then it describes for us why God sent His Son, the Savior. And He sent the Lord Jesus because of His great love for us. And then He goes on to describe the fact that there, once a person gets saved, there is a struggle, a battle between the old nature and the new nature, and all the struggle that goes on in the Christian life. And that's basically where we are in the 8th chapter when He's talking about how that now that we're saved, that it is possible for us to live the victorious Christian life, and that we can enjoy our salvation, we can enjoy our relationship with the Lord. And then if you look at verse 14, we'll jump into it right there. In verse 14, Romans chapter 8, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, hold your place there so you can look back to it, but look over, please, now at Galatians chapter 5. Now, this chapter is basically doing the same thing that Romans 8 is doing. It's talking about the struggle that goes on between the old nature and the new nature. He's talking about the works of the flesh and then contrasting that to the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we find that in this 5th chapter. And once all that is discussed, he then makes a statement in verse 25 that I want us to look at. And it basically ties in with what I read to you for a moment ago out of Romans. But look at verse 25. He said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now hold your Bible open to that to this verse in Galatians, but keep your spot in Romans 8. And I want to speak to you this morning on being led by the Spirit. We've looked over the last couple of weeks at various aspects and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at resisting the Spirit, and how that when a person is not saved yet, and the Spirit of God begins to speak to that unsaved person's heart and is drawing that unsaved person, it is possible for that unsaved person to resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit and say no to God's salvation. Well, that was one sermon. Then we looked at how we can grieve the Holy Spirit with our carnality and our fleshly natures, that we can grieve the Spirit with the things that we do. Then we looked at how that we can quench the Holy Spirit. And now this morning, I want us to look at the matter of being led by the Spirit. But I'm going to go into it just a little bit different probably than what you might think. So that's why I want you to have your Bible open so you can see the direction that I want you to think on this morning for the message. But let's pray together and then the message, being led by the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, We are truly thankful for our Bibles. And Lord, there are so many wonderful truths that we can learn from the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless us this morning as we look at this little simple principle about living in the Spirit and fellowshipping with you through the Holy Spirit and growing and learning and reading our Bibles and praying. And Lord, all these wonderful things that we as believers can do now that that we are saved and that our that we have the Holy Spirit living within. And now, Father, I pray that you will bless this morning as I preach. Father, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and lead me and guide me. And Lord, I'm going to preach on living in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that you will lead me this morning and help me to say what I need to say. And Lord, may we all grow closer to you as a result of what we're about to learn. May the Spirit of God move and work in our midst this morning. And Father, I pray that every person will evaluate themselves in the light of your word today. Lord, not in the light of my word, but in the light of your word. Just speak to our hearts, Lord, and draw each one of us into a closer walk with you. Bless now, we pray, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you this morning on another aspect, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And I want you to notice with me that I'm using two passages of Scripture this morning. I use the passage in Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." Now, I mention that to you because I want you to see that as a believer, we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. As a believer, that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He wants to lead us as we go throughout our Christian life. But then I turned to Galatians 5, and I read here that Paul said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now, folks, I want you to pay real close attention to that. I want you to notice the wording, notice the order in which the Apostle Paul states this phrase. Look at it carefully. Let's read it again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, you got two things here. You got live, and then you got walk. Live, and then walk. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice here that life precedes activity. Do you see that? Life precedes activity. It does not say, if we walk, then let us live. But rather, it says, if we live, then let us walk. God's order always puts first things first. Always. God's order always puts first things first, while human order usually reverses the plan. We say all the time, you know, we need to do something for God. We need to be active. You know, let's do this, do that, and you will be spiritual. But God's plan is to first be spiritual. In other words, take time, wait upon the Lord, rest in the Lord, tarry, and as he said with the disciples, tarry until ye be endued from upon high, and then do something. You see, our order is we equate being busy about spiritual things as spiritual. No, that's not how God looks at it. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk with me. I want you to live in me. I want you to read your Bible and pray. And I want you to come to church and I want you to grow. I want you to mature as a Christian. I want you to fellowship with me and then be spiritual. All right? Then walk. And we have a tendency to get all that flipped around backwards, and then we wonder why we don't do anything for God. Being led of the Spirit is without a doubt the best way to live the Christian life. But we need to understand that being led by the Spirit must be preceded by fellowship with God. It must be preceded by prayer, by consecration, by devotion, by us being alone with God in His Word, in prayer, and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts as we fellowship with the Lord. We all want God to lead us, but we don't all want to tarry before Him. I think if I were to take a poll here this morning, I think everybody in this building would say without exception, oh yeah, I want God to lead me. I want God's blessing in my life, Pastor. Well, listen, it's one thing to say that we want God's blessing, but we must realize that that blessing only comes as we are coming apart from the world, coming apart from ourselves, and spending time in fellowship with God. We all want God's blessings, but we don't want to tarry before Him. We go and go and go and run and run and run, and then the day is over, and we've gone all day long without fellowshipping with the Lord, without spending any private personal time with God, and then we wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't lead in our lives. Now, if we live in the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, it will help us do some very basic things in our Christian lives that, when you think about it, are really just basic Christianity. I think all of us realize that once a person is saved, that he's not what he used to be. Would you agree with that on me? I know I'm not what I used to be, and I thank God for it. I don't think you would want your pastor like I used to be. I really don't. But when I got saved, and I started growing as a Christian and reading my Bible and learning God, all of a sudden my life began to change. I noticed my attitude changed, my heart changed, my actions changed, my language changed, my thought life changed. Everything changed as I started fellowshipping with God. Now, as we live in the Spirit, and then are led by the Spirit, we're going to find that the Spirit will lead us to do some things in our Christian lives that are just basic Christianity in action. We've all looked at somebody and said, I thought that guy was a Christian. We've watched them do something, or we heard them say something that wasn't very Christ-like. And we've all asked that question, well, I thought that guy was a Christian. You see, we all know that there is a certain standard that Christians ought to live by. It's called the biblical standard, by the way. You know, and we're ignorant of it when it comes to ourselves, but boy, we're right on when it comes to somebody else. We know what the standard is. We don't always hold the standard for ourselves, but boy, we know what the standard is for everybody else, don't we? Come on, be honest. Yeah. Well, this is just basic Christianity. And if you're living in the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, then the Spirit of God teaches us just some things that we could say are just basic Christianity in action. And there are so many people who are saved people, but because they don't live in the Spirit, they are not led of the Spirit, and they end up missing so much of the blessings of the Christian life. Now, again this morning, as I have done with the three previous messages that I preached on about the Holy Spirit, I want to speak very candidly to you about some matters and show you how we can apply this principle to some things in our lives that I think we need. I think we need to get the most out of our Christian life, don't you? I think we ought to get the most out of it. You see so many Christians that are struggling, and they're discouraged, and they're defeated, and just about every time you see them, they just are whipped, And victory seems so far away. That joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Bible talks about is just something that a lot of folks think is just for a select few of victorious people. But brethren, I think that there's a principle here that is good for all believers. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And a good way to know, Paul says here, if someone is a child of God, is to see them led of the Spirit. You know, when somebody looks at another Christian, and even though you know they're going through a struggle, even though you know there's a trial or a heartache or some kind of problem, I mean, even though you know that, if you see them riding through it with their head held up, trusting God, dependent upon God, victorious over it, you can look at them and say, wow, boy, the Spirit of God is really helping that person. You know that it's God that's blessing and God that is helping. So if we live in the Spirit and are led of the Spirit, we're going to do some things and we'll avoid some other things. And this will make us different from the rest of professing Christianity. Now, I want to give you this morning, very quickly, four things that I think that we are areas whereby we can apply this. If we live in the Spirit, I mean, you get up and you start the day in the Word. You're growing. God is speaking to your heart. God is teaching you how to live the Christian life. God is blessing you and teaching you about Him and about your salvation and about the Holy Spirit and about the Lord Jesus and about eternity. God is feeding your soul. You're living in the Lord. If we live in the Spirit, then we are led by the Spirit. And if we are, there's a couple of areas that this is going to impact us. Now, this one may seem totally out, you know, I just reached out and grabbed it. I probably did, but I felt it needed to be said. Number one, if we're living and are led of the Spirit, number one, we will sing with the Spirit and with understanding. We will sing with the Spirit and understanding. You know, I am just not completely sure that we understand the importance of singing in the church service. Folks, there is a reason that we sing when we come to church. There is a reason that we sing the types of songs that we sing when we come to church. There is a reason that we sing the hymns that are in the hymnal that we have. Because singing prepares our hearts to receive the Word of God. God has made us, even though there are some of us who cannot make music, God has made us all to enjoy music. God has made all of us. Singing prepares our hearts to receive the Word of God. Do you realize, folks, that there's a whole book in the Bible that is dedicated to the matter of singing? And there's a whole book in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's the largest book in your Bible. It is called the Book of the Psalms. And the Psalms are songs. And the Jews had music to all the Psalms, and they would sing them, and they would play musical instruments to carry the tune while they sung along, singing the Word of God. And most, if not all, there's one or two that we don't sing because I got a little few problems with some of the doctrine, just one or two songs in our hymnal. But most of the hymns that we sing are Bible truths, and many of them are Bible verses that are put to music. I hope you realize how important singing is. Folks, that's the reason why we don't have the world's music in our church. That's why we don't have the rock and roll music in our church. There's good music and there's bad music. Just like with everything else in life, I mean, you know, there's food that is good for you, and there's food that is not good for you. Everybody knows that. All right. Now, when you get up in your 40s and 50s and you go for your annual checkup and the doctor looks at you and says, you're 30 pounds overweight. Your blood pressure is high. Your cholesterol is high. And you're going to have to quit eating potato chips and you're going to have to start eating some stuff that's good for you. And so you sit there and look at the doctor and you realize that, hey, I've had a good run for 40 years. Now it's time to, you know, do something about this. So you stop eating the bad stuff and you start eating the good stuff. Well, I mean, it's that way with everything. And have you ever noticed, I don't know if it's just me, but have you ever noticed that the bad stuff is really good? I mean, am I the only one that's noticed that? You know, the good stuff is not very tasty. Let's be honest about it. All right? But man, it's that way with everything. And folks, here, when it comes to music, there is good music and there is bad music. Now, they that live in the Spirit are led of the Spirit. Do you think for a minute that the Holy Spirit of God is honored and pleased when we gather here and have the world's music, bad music, and we do it with the intent of honoring and glorifying God? Of course not. Of course not. God is not pleased with that. But they that live in the Spirit are led of the Spirit. And that's why we do the good music. We don't have rock and roll music in our church. And by the way, we're not going to get rock and roll music in our church as long as my name is on the front of that bulletin as the pastor of this church. I want our church to honor God with good music and the great truths sung from a Spirit-filled believer. Listen to me now. The great truths of the Bible sung from a Spirit-filled believer can light a fire burning in our bones before the Word of God is ever preached. Now you might say, but Pastor, have you heard my husband sing? I mean, Pastor, my husband sings in the shower and the water quits running. Well, here is an interesting thing. God did not tell us to sing if we can sing. God said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I think God is much more concerned with what's in here rather than what's coming out of here. I think God is, and the Bible tells us, God looks on the heart. I remember years ago when I first went to Bible college, when you checked in, they gave you a slip of paper and that slip of paper had your chapel seat on it. And they had a little note there that said, the first time you will sit in this seat is tonight at 7:00 for the opening evangelistic services that will be Monday through Wednesday night. Do not be late. Well, I went to my seat and I noticed that we were in alphabetical order. There was a boy sitting beside of me from Texas, and his name was Mike Bell. Now, he didn't say that when he introduced himself to me. He said, my name's Mike Bell. Took him about a half an hour to say it. Mike Bell. And I said, well, hello, Mike Bell. Good to meet you. And I said, is that M-A-C? He said, no, that's M-I-K-E, Mike. I said, oh, okay. I said, how do you spell rat? He said, R-A-T. I said, no, it's the way you pronounce it. It's R-I-G-H-T. I'll be right there. That's the way he talked. Well, now we started to sing at 7:00. Guy walks up, takes a hymnal, opens it up, says, turn. We all turned. We all stood. We all started to sing. And everybody within 20 feet of us turned around and looked at Mike Bell. I mean, he started singing. Folks, he had one note. He just sung one note. And it wasn't anywhere near what that piano was playing. I can tell you, I'm not sure what he was singing was even on that piano. And they were just playing that song, and Mike was singing his heart out. I mean, folks from 5 and 6 and 8 rows up, turning around and looking back on what in the world is that guy doing? And he's just singing that one note as loud as he could sing it. I'm standing there sharing a hymn book with him. For the entire semester, I was totally unable to sing. I just stood there and moved my mouth because you could not get on key with that guy singing beside of you. And about 3 or 4 days into the school year, this little girl on the front, sitting up in front of us, she turned around and she said, "Do you have to sing so loud?" And she was not happy because he was throwing everybody off. "Do you have to sing so loud?" And he just grinning from ear to ear, singing his heart out. And he stopped and he said, "Yeah, I do." And he just kept singing. You see, he didn't care because he was not singing for man's glory. He certainly wasn't singing for his own glory, I can tell you that. He was singing for God's glory. And he was not going to let anybody rob him of glorifying God. Hey, folks, listen. Singing is important. And man, when we come in here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival meeting and missions conference and whatever else we do, we ought to sing not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:18-20. He said, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You see, God created music. God designed music. He gave us the ability to sing and to use music to worship and glorify Him. Now, you can either use music to worship and glorify Him, or you can use bad music to worship and glorify your flesh. All right? It's one or the other. That's why we got good music in here. We're not having it now. Most of you have given up on that and left. But we're not having it. We're not having it. No, sir. Singing is a manifestation of joy. That's what Paul's saying here. It is a manifestation of joy in your heart, of giving thanks to God. You know, we all know this. But when you get happy, whether you can sing or not, when you get happy, you sing. We were at the house last night, and Josh and Kathy and the kids came over, and we said, "Braden, come and eat." And so getting that boy to eat is sometimes a job. And so pick and pick and pick. And so I said, "You're going to eat, or you're not going to do nothing. You're just going to sit there till you rot or the food rots. But one or the other, you're going to eat." And so we all finish. We walk away. Josh and I were sitting in there watching football. And so he's in there by himself. And in just a little while, all of a sudden, I hear this singing coming out of the kitchen. And little Braden is sitting in there picking at his food, but singing his heart out. And he just sat there and sung for about 20 minutes. He ate his food, and then he could get down. But the point is, when we're happy, we sing. I mean, it's just the way God made us. And who has more to be happy about than a saved person? I mean, who has more? You have a relationship with God, Christian. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. You have an eternal home in heaven. You have a Bible. You have all the promises of the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit living within you who will lead you if you will live in those promises. Ma'am, what do we have to be happy for? Everything. You've got your church family. You've got your friends. You've got your job. You've got a roof over your head. You've got your wife and your children, or your husband and your children. You know, when you think about it, you have something to sing about. So why is it that we come in on Sunday morning and Pastor Brian gets up here and says, turn to him so-and-so, and we just sit there and look like we don't care? Brethren, listen, live in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit, then you will be led of the Spirit. And when the singing starts, you're going to sit there and realize, wait a minute, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And sing about it and thank God for it. It'll just change. I mean, we get filled with the Spirit, or led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and led of the Spirit. We're going to sing and let our praise be known to God. Secondly, just make an application, just practical things. No connection here, just simple little things in the Christian life that we ought to consider. Number two, we will avoid those rash things that we sometimes do or say. You know, if we're living in the Spirit and led of the Spirit, we'll avoid some of those rash things that we do or say. You ever notice that little divine question mark that comes to mind when you're about to say something or do something? You ever notice that? That's the Holy Spirit leading the believer who is living in the Spirit. Now, if that believer is not living in the Spirit, I mean, if that believer has not spent any time with the Lord, hadn't read the Bible, hasn't prayed, is not living with the Lord, then those rash statements come pouring out. I mean, they're just liable to pour out anywhere. Paul says that a part of the character of Christianity, the character of charity, is freedom from rashness. In 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul was giving these characteristics of charity in our lives, he said one of them is charity vaunteth not itself. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that we are not going to be rash, hasty, or quick-tempered. If we live in the Spirit, we will avoid the rash things. There are multitudes of good people who, when they look back on their lives, can see things they did in a moment of haste, or a moment of quick temper, or through a sudden impulse that they know was not something that the Holy Spirit led them to do. Maybe a letter written in anger. Maybe a words exchanged where irreparable damage was done to a relationship. Maybe some bitterness. Maybe some caustic venom that shot out of our mouths before we realized what we were saying. And you know, one hasty step might require 1,000 other steps to recover lost ground, if it ever can be recovered. I'm saying that rash behavior, folks, is something that the devil is trying to use against God's people to get us to where we have problems with one another and problems in our relationships. But I'm also saying that if we live in the Spirit, we are led of the Spirit. And one of the things that the Spirit of God will do is help us so that we can put those things in check and not say the things that will be damaging to someone else. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, Solomon said, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." Oh, how rash words can hurt and cause us a world of regret. You know, where there is true love, even though there may be scars, forgiveness can be found. But where there is no love, it cannot cover a multitude of sins. Love cannot cover a multitude of sins if there is no love there. But then number three, we will be free from a life of worry. If we live in the Spirit and we're led in the Spirit, we'll be free from a life of worry. Now, let's be honest, folks. We worry too much, don't we? Man, we worry about everything. We are a worrying bunch of people today. What is worry? Well, plainly put, worry is just a polite term for unbelief. Plain and simple, worry is just a polite term for unbelief. Worry is assuming responsibility God never intended you to have. Can I prove that to you? My Bible tells me, but my God shall supply all your need. Not needs, plural, need, one great big package. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have the promise from God Himself that He will provide our need, and then we stand right up and worry about whether or not He really means it. I can assure you He does. Worry won't affect us, though, when we're living in the Spirit. When we're living in the Spirit, instead of worrying about stuff, we just are led by the Spirit to trust God. John Wesley said one time, shocked the congregation, but he said one time, he said, I'd just as soon cuss and swear as fret and worry. But he knew what fret and worry, how it eats on you, how it gnaws on you. But a greater than Wesley said, fret not thyself because of evil doers. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And yet there are multitudes of Christians who just worry about everything. Too many people have gray hairs and wrinkled brows that ought not to have them at all. And sadly, most people worry about things that never happen or that never will happen. But that's what the devil wants you to do. And in so doing, we allow worry to take the joy out of our lives. Oh, I can remember my mother saying to me all the time, why are you worried about something which you have no control over? My mother used to say that to me all the time when I was little. Why do you worry about stuff that you have no control over? She said, why don't you worry about the things you do have control over? I said, like what? She said, like your relationship with God. You do have control over that. Why don't we concentrate on those things? Then lastly, we'll be freed from the haste of life. Man, everybody's always in such a rush, aren't they? Isn't that something? You get out here on the Autobahn, 140 out here. Everybody's in a hurry. I don't go on that road unless I absolutely have to. The other day, Wednesday or Thursday, I had to take the car across the street over here to Firestone, get some work done on it. And I dropped it off about 10 minutes to 8. And the guy over there, he said, you want me to run you across the street, preacher? I said, nah, it's all right. I'll just run across. He looked at, yeah, he had the same reaction you all did. He looked at me and said, he said, you're going to get run over out there. I said, well, I've done it before. He said, well, you better be careful. I said, I will. So I left and I walked out to the street and I looked down to the stoplight down here, and traffic was all stopped and up on the hill. You couldn't see over the top of the hill, but there was no cars coming that direction. I thought, well, look here, don't have to wait at all. And so I started across, and since there wasn't anything coming, I wasn't in any big hurry. So I was just walking across. I got across the outside, the east lane, got across that and got in the medium, went over to the medium. By the time I stepped out on the road, I looked up and here they come. All lanes. There was a car in every lane. And so I kind of scooted a little bit. And then I got out in the middle and I looked back up and I figured my scoot better turn into a get out of here crazy guy. I flew across that road, and by the time I hit the grass on the other side, whoom, here they went by. Man, we're always in a hurry. Always in a hurry. Got to go here, got to go there, do this, got to get there, run, run, run. Let me give you a verse. This verse is in Isaiah 28:16, and Isaiah said, he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. Did you hear that? What a truth that is. But what does it mean? It means that the person who believes God, who believes His Word, the person who lives in the Spirit, the person who begins his day with God. He's in his Bible. He's praying. He's got a God consciousness about him. That person that lives in the Spirit and is led of the Spirit as he goes through his day is not going to get all frustrated with life and be rushed all day long. There's a comfort that is given by the Spirit of God. Everybody's always in such a hurry. I love Isaiah. Isaiah said, wait. Wait. The psalmist said, wait, they that wait upon the Lord. Isaiah said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Truth is, most folks don't have time to serve God because they're just run, too busy. Hey, I've been missing you at church. Yeah, Pastor, we've been busy. Well, if you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. You really are. You need to stop and reevaluate things. I mean, you're going to get to heaven one of these days and stand at the judgment seat of Christ. God will look you dead in the eye and say, what's the deal? Well, Lord, we were busy. We were just too busy. And that's not going to hold water. That's not going to get you any crowns to lay at his feet. When we're running at breakneck speed here and there, too busy in life to live in the Spirit, for sure, we will not be and cannot be led of the Spirit. Man, we all want to be led of the Spirit. All of us. We want the Spirit of God. We say that. We'll come in here on Sunday and listen to the Word of God and we'll say, oh yeah, I want the Spirit of God to lead in my life. But then tomorrow we don't want to get in the Word. Wednesday night, we don't want to come to church. Friday morning, we don't want to read the Bible. Thursday night, we don't want to go soul winning. I mean, you know, we have the best of intentions. But the simple truth of the matter is, we got to live before we can be led. We got to live before we can be led. Last week, when I was down in West Virginia preaching at the Lick Creek Baptist Church, they put me up at the Sleep Inn in Beaver, West Virginia. Really nice new hotel, very nice. Tuesday morning, it was pouring down the rain. Just raining in buckets. And I got up and took a shower and got dressed and then I sat down and started reading my Bible. And I don't know, it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. And I, all of a sudden I thought, I think I'll go out and see if I can find something in that breakfast nook and have this little breakfast place where you go and had coffee and juice and stuff. And so I walked out and by this time, the newspapers had come, so I grabbed a newspaper and I was sitting there eating some yogurt and then I thought, well, I'll get me another cup of coffee. So I got one in one hand, one in the other, and started back to my room. And the ladies were coming to start cleaning rooms. And so there were, as I was going down the hallway, this lady was coming by, somebody's grandmother, without a doubt, very nice, very pleasant. And she said, good morning. And I said, good morning, how are you? And she said, you want me to hold those? I was getting ready. I was already in the crouching position to set them on the floor so I could open the door. And I stuck the key in the door and the little green light went off and I pushed the handle down, shoved it open. Well, I said, no, I got it, thanks. Well, by the time I turned around to pick it up, thum, the door went shut again. Yeah, Ziggy goes to get coffee. And so I put the key back in. And I put my foot on it this time. Well, when I did that, the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart. And said, you ought to witness to her. And so I pushed the door open. I took the coffee and I started in the door. And about that time, here she came out. And she said, boy, it's really pouring the rain, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, what are you doing down here? And I said, I'm preaching down here. She said, oh, you pastor in the area? I said, no, I pastor in Westminster, Maryland. I'm down here preaching in a revival meeting. She said, oh, you're evangelizing. And I said, yes, I'm evangelizing. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And I smiled at her and I said, "Ma'am, have you ever been evangelized?" She got this puzzled look on her face. I said, "I don't know if I know what that is." And I said, "Well, let me explain something to you." I took my coffee on in, sat it down. I picked up a little Are You Sure tract that was on the counter that I had in my pocket. And I came back out and stood there by her cart and took her through the plan of salvation and led her to Christ. Amen. Living in the Spirit. And when you're living in the Spirit, see, I gotten up that morning, took a shower, got cleaned up, sitting there reading my Bible, feeding my soul, living in the Spirit. Then I go down to do what is normal, get something to eat, come back, and you feel that little tug in your heart. Witness to her. Witness to her. That's led of the Spirit. And folks, that's where the victories come in the Christian life. That's where the joy comes in the Christian life. That's where people look at you and say, "You know, there's something different about him. There's something different about her." Yeah, there is. They're living in the Spirit, and their lives are led by the Spirit. And that's different from the rest of the world. That's something totally different than the rest of the world has. But that's available because our Lord said, "I will not leave you without a comforter." May God help us to be led of the Spirit. Let's pray together.